Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bub in the Bloom, episode 182. We are here to continue our positional reviews of the 2024 baseball season, and we are kicking it off with our continuing our outfield part two. And in order to do so, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan, how are we doing, my friend?
Oh, we're good. You know, we're feverishly prepping for our live show at First Pitch Arizona, which is coming along very nicely.
Yes.
But I did learn something about you, which just blows my mind, is that you haven't done a PowerPoint in like 20 years.
Yeah, since college.
That's unbelievable to me. That's awesome.
I'm honestly,
you're lucky. That's actually a good thing.
I'm honestly surprised you're surprised. Let's put it that way.
I figure, like, I don't know. That's crazy.
I work in ag. I work out of my truck. I go and play with vegetables in the field. I memorize a lot of stuff. I like organic chemistry type stuff. I just don't have to put it to a presentation.
No, like PitchCon presentations or nothing.
No, I'm just a host. I'm just a host, dude. That's what I do.
Just a host. No, yeah, we're throwing together this. We're gonna be doing like a Bloom Boards trivia game, announcing a couple other things at the. For the live show. And so I've got like a Google, whatever it's called, Google Slides thing. And I'm like, hey, Bob, if you think of anything, just add it in there. You start laughing. Like, okay.
Oh,
or not.
You want me to lose the whole presentation? Yeah. I'll give it a whirl.
Just all manage that part of the operation.
Remember, you're the brains. I'm the caveman over here. Simple game. Yeah.
You're the one everyone likes. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It is, yeah, we are what? Our next show will be the live show, which yes. I guess...
No, Thursday night.
Yeah, it goes into a transition there. We will not have a show Thursday night. We will be out trick-or-treating. Yep. And then we'll be doing the live show next Friday night. So I'm absolutely stoked. We've got some cool-ass prizes, yep. Raffles to give out to the show. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but all kinds of fireworks are going to come out of that show Friday night. That's all I got to say. It's going to be a fun one, to say the least, especially considering I get in Friday morning, you get in basically midday Friday. We're going to be coming in hot to what's going down there in Mesa, Arizona for that one. And hopefully, and then the second I get the clip, it'll be available for your podcasting ears. Don't fret. You'll get all the goodies that come with the live show at First Pitch Arizona, hopefully sometime early Saturday is usually when it goes down. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one.
And it is streamed. Oh, I see. We just got a question in. Yes, all live First Pitch Arizona podcasts will be streamed from the Baseball HQ YouTube channel. And last year was kind of cool. They had like a split screen, right, with us, and then the split screen with the audience. And so it was obviously not like being there, but it was pretty well done. So yes, not just our show, but every live show at First Pitch, and I think there's 10 of them. Those will be on the Baseball HQ YouTube channel at some point after the conference. I'm not sure exactly when, but we'll let you all know for ours at least.
And to that vein, though, it's also, we won't be able to like comment on it like we do here, because I'll have no idea who's talking in the live stream. Just throwing that out there. So
yeah,
but you guys can check that out as well. And it's in a new room, so I'm really curious to see which room it is, how much space we have, all that good stuff to let our entertainment go wild, but not as wild as others. So we'll have some fun with that as well.
But we will keep it. We promise. We keep it. We do every year. We toe the line quite well.
Yes, we do. Question I have for you before we get into the outfield preview, a review part two. Do you dress up for Halloween?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What are you this year?
I am going to be Oscar the Grouch.
God, that's awesome. Oscar the Grouch. That's awesome.
And it's actually going to come through, because the dude has a tin thing on his head, the garbage can lid, and it's supposed to rain. So I'm good, man. My kids might be soaking wet, but
they won't care.
They won't care, and my little trash can will keep my head dry. So,
and then they'll get sick while you're in Arizona, and your wife will have to deal with it. So.
Let's not speak that into existence, please. Yeah. We already had an urgent care today with another ear thing. So
never ends. I just ask because I dress up every year too.
You're doing the same thing as last year, or is something new?
No, this year I am a warlock because my daughter is a witch. So we do a family theme every year. Last year I was King Triton because she was Ariel. I've dressed up as Olaf because she was Elf.
That's the one I remember was Olaf.
Yes. So I'm just curious because a lot of men do not. So I was curious if you were the real family man or not, which I figured you were, but it's
Quandex. Yeah, it's not a theme. Like my kids are little, it's like cat boy. It's cat superheroes. And Oscar the Grouch is definitely not a cat superhero, but I partake.
Cats, trash cans, it all plays together. Yeah. It's cool. Okay, just wanted to ask, have a little fun with that, as I hope everybody else has fun on Thursday evening with their friends and families or whatever shenanigans you're up to. Enjoy yourself. Be safe out there because it is a lot of fun. But enough of that. One last plea to the masses. If you live in the Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale area, we have, what, two spots left, Ryan? Two?
Probably just one. Yeah, one. Probably just one.
All right, one spot left for golf. One. You can rent clubs. It doesn't matter how good you are. We're just having fun. Bring a lot of balls is all I can say. Lots of water on this golf course, but just throwing that last pitch out there.
And hopefully not water from up above.
Good
forecast. Lord. Forecast. Little shaky.
Yeah.
Every no. Day, we're 45% chance of rain. 69 degrees every other day in Mesa. It's just complete sun except Sunday, but we'll see. It can change. Yep,
keeps changing rapidly, but that's the last bit. I wanted to mention that just to throw it out there one last time. All right, let's do it. We talked about the top 40 drafted according to Main Event ADP last podcast, Ryan. Now we got 41 through 80. We'll probably go a little quicker through some of these. We'll see. I say that, but if there's something to talk about, we will talk, of course. Plus, you got some breakout players as well. So we'll get tons covered here at the outfield position. But before we get started, I want to remind everybody what we're looking at here.
Yeah, so this, same format as the other positions, the other shows. It's our, 40 through 80 outfielders. We probably will hit this a little bit faster, A, just because it's deeper in the pool, but also B, a lot of these guys we've covered at other positions, like the mascot Luis Rengifo, three or four times already. It's our same 40 through 80 with this, sorted by ADP, and then our end of season rankings from the Fangraphs Player Rater along with their stats. So it's a little bit tricky to do kind of like macro higher level takeaways this deep in the pool. But a couple things that I saw is speed kind of dried up. There are three or four guys with 20 plus steals: Josh Lowe, Luis Rengifo, Jake Fraley, Leody Taveras. Only four guys with over 20 steals in this entire part of the pool. There were a good number of upper teens guys as well. And then obviously not as much power as before, but again, this is because this is ADP, 190 through 330. So we are starting to get into those later rounds at the bottom part of this pool.
Yeah, looking at the macro level here, you still got a couple power guys, not much, but a lot more batting average assets than I expected.
Yes.
In this 41 through 80. Did not expect to see that on here. The other thing I will just kind of throw out there right out the gate, a lot of these guys are your fourth outfielders, fifth outfielders, droppable outfielders. You're replacing them with streaming outfielders. So you're kind of, mixing and matching and not stuck with all these guys, but there are some that you did probably stick with too long type situation.
Yep. Always tricky to time that, but right. And we said a lot, often throughout the season that there were always seemed to be outfielders available in FAB. I think part of that reason is you were kind of churning some of these guys as we got to the middle part of the season.
All righty. So let's get out of here. ADP 41 through 45. We'll kick it off with Jorge Soler. We'll talk about him for a second. He had an ADP of 190, finished 46th at the outfield position, according to the Fangraphs Player Rater. And it was an interesting season. Finished 241, 21 homers. Started with the Giants, got hurt, started to hit a little bit, then gets traded to Hotlanta and kind of, putted around there. Did okay, but nothing off the wall crazy. So to me, it feels like a lost year for Jorge Soler for what people drafted him for.
Yeah, a little bit. You definitely, if you said you were going to get if you thought you were going to get 574 plate appearances from Jorge Soler, the 241 batting average, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll take it. You would not take 21 home runs, and certainly not, and partial doing because of your Giants. Certainly not 64 RBI. I mean, that's pretty bad for Jorge Soler. So definitely underachieved in terms of like the surface stats, but I look one level deeper. The barrels were there. I mean, 21 homers to 44 barrels, probably could have had a few more homers based on how hard he hit the ball. The barrel rate was pretty much where it's been the last couple of years. So I think from a skills perspective, this wasn't as big of a down year as you think, just looking at the results. And that's probably my biggest thing with Soler is I still think he's fine. It's just probably had 5-8 fewer home runs than he should have gotten.
Yeah. And the problem is you're drafting him for the home runs though. So that's kind of where at this point in the draft, your fourth, fifth outfielders are trying to probably fill team needs as your quote unquote projections and everything else. So that's where he kind of potentially hurt in that regard. We can go quick on this one. James Outman finished 238 at the position. Talk about an up and down year. A guy I know I was interested in looking for 2020 potential after going 23-16 over 150 games in 2023. Only played 53 games, 4 homers, 2 steals, 147. Spent a lot of time in the minor leagues, and I really don't even know what to do with him for next year, but we're not talking about that. It's a complete bummer of a season for James Outman.
Yeah, I feel like this is kind of almost like the Zach Geloff disease, where it's a young disease, is probably the wrong word, but it's the young guy
syndrome.
With like,
syndrome.
Syndrome. We'll go with yes. Syndrome, because I try to not further dig myself into a hole here. It's those young hitters with like pretty bad plate skills that I think are pretty exploitable in year two or even later in year one as the kind of the book gets out. Outman had a 32% K rate, bunch of swings and misses, and that just got exposed. The power speed could still be there, but Outman was gone before there was any chance of that coming back.
No doubt about it. Dalton Varsho, 43rd catcher off the board, finished 67th at the position, 214, 18 homers, 10 steals. There's some optimism as a late outfielder. He had a couple weeks where he looked really good, but he also apparently dealt with a shoulder injury most of the year. They had surgery on this offseason, so take your yin with your yang, I guess.
Yeah, that could certainly explain why the barrel rate was so bad. I mean, it was 6% for Dalton Varsho. That's not great, Bob. You said catcher in your little intro there, but no longer a catcher, which totally
once a catcher, always a catcher. It's like flags fly forever, my friend.
Do not write Dalton Varsho up in your
he will not be on the yellow legal pad on Saturday.
Yeah, don't be doing that. That's the question, is the shoulder. How much did that play a role? But it was, 18 home runs and 513 plate appearances. That's not what you wanted from Dalton Varsho. Another bust so far in this pocket.
Yep, and we'll go a little farther here. Masataka Yoshida finished 80th at the position, 280, 10-2. Batting average is great. He dealt with some injuries throughout the middle of the season. The batting average is outstanding. I think we wanted more power out of him. Util only going in the next year is going to be a bummer. But, I think he's going to be forever a batting average asset. It's just, can he tap into like 20 home runs is the million-dollar question.
Yeah, and the first half, second half split for Yoshida was 2 homers in the first half, 8 in the second. So maybe that aligns with like what you were saying, Bubba, how Yoshida was banged up in the middle of the season there. Maybe he was finally healthy and got those 8 second-half home runs. That's nothing to write home about. But if you compare 16 to 20 home runs with, I think, is a pretty damn solid batting average foundation. Yoshida is, I still think, pretty interesting for next year if he regains outfield eligibility. As a UT only, his ADP is gonna tank.
Yeah, I know. I took him like, I think I was an auto pick, unfortunately, but it was super late in our draft, too early. Yeah, his ADP is like 399 right now.
Okay.
At that point, I have no problem taking him super late and seeing what happens.
You didn't already have a util, I'm assuming.
I don't think so, but you never know. Stuff went crazy in that league, so yeah.
You already forgot.
Yeah.
Let me check for you here. I'd love to see if you took 2 UTs.
I don't think I did, but
no, I think you're good.
Yeah, I think I'm good on that one. All right, the next guy was a bummer because I added him in Fab because I thought it was gonna be great things, and he couldn't stay healthy, and then he started – the platoons came back. But when he was healthy for a small stretch, Josh Lowe was really good, but still finished the year 92nd overall at the position. Hit 241, 10 homers, 25 steals. Oh, man was running wild. But again, couldn't stay healthy, and the strikeout rate went through the roof this past year. So what are your thoughts on the season we saw from Lowe?
Actually, like on a per game basis, pretty damn impressive. But that's kind of the rub, right? But between the injuries and, I mean, you never know what the Rays would platoon wise, but I don't think he was playing against lefties all that much.
Not often, no.
So that's always the rub. But 96% success rate. There's 25 steals. It was just on 26 attempts. 91% success rate last year. Josh Lowe is an elite stolen base guy, and the Rays let him run. So that's good. The power wasn't that bad either. I mean, he only had the 10 home runs, but on 24 barrels, like that's pretty solid. Yeah, the batting average is probably going to continue to suck, but I don't know. In weekly leagues, Josh Lowe, it's all every week's going to be frustrating. A, is he day to day, and B, how many lefties does he face?
Yep, that is the problem. Another problem is Byron Buxton, and this year was weird because the health was better than usual. He played 102 games, first time over 100 games since 2017, but 18 homers, 7 steals at .279. So like the stat line was good. Again, if you all go per game basis for Byron Buxton, but as usual, we couldn't count on enough games from Byron Buxton, and that resulted in a 48th finish at the position, which he was ADP 46.
Yeah, this has been gone for a while, but like the stolen base total is not a part of Buxton's game. And I think if we're still dreaming on that early career Byron Buxton, I don't see that ever happening. Partly because of the health, but also because the stolen base game hasn't been there. Probably to try and preserve the health. He hits a ton of fly balls. He strikes out a lot, which is like, I don't think he hits .279 again. I think that was, I know you did a high BABIP show with Ben Tidd earlier today. Byron Buxton's BABIP was .338 coming off 2 years of .253 and .244. So that's a huge spike that I don't know if that sticks around. So, as weird as it sounds, this might be Byron Buxton's best season. This may be a high watermark for the rest of his career, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah, he's going to be 31 going into next year, and pretty beat up 31. It's the nicest way I can say that one as well. All right, we're going to jump into 46 through 50, or we already are in 47th off the board here. Finished 21st, so here's our first quote-unquote, I guess, value at the outfield position on today's show. That's Brandon Nimmo. The thing is, his stat line is confusing for what you drafted Brandon Nimmo for. He provided you 23 home runs, so back-to-back years of 23 or more. Runs and RBIs pretty much similar. RBI is 90. That's way above normal. But 15 steals. He's never stolen more than 9 since 2018. But then he hit .224. You used to a batting average floor with Brandon Nimmo. So you lost the batting average. You gained a bunch of speed in RBIs. Like you'll take that if you drafted him. But again, like I said, with something like Soler, you drafted Nimmo at this point. I think you're looking for a batting average asset, and a .224 is going to crush your team right here.
Yeah, this is like the old Ian Happ where like you think you're drafting power speed, you get batting average. This is maybe the anti Ian Happ where you get the power speed, but yeah, the batting average completely tanked. Like the K rate was up slightly for Brandon Nimmo, but yeah, the BABIP just absolutely sunk without a big change in batted ball profile. Like the grounders, line drives, fly balls were all pretty similar. I wonder, I should do like a bloom board for this. How many times every year someone has like more steals than the previous three seasons combined? Because like, how do you predict that?
Matt Chapman, everybody.
Yeah, Matt Chapman would certainly qualify.
Kyle
Schwarber last year. Maybe, no, 2 years ago. I think last year he didn't steal at all, and then he had 10. Then this year he had 5. But like Brandon Nimmo in his age 31 season just all of a sudden says, oh, I guess I'm going to go swipe 15 bags. It doesn't make sense. But like you said, you take it, even if the shape of that production was not what you drafted.
Yeah, we have a little pocket here. These next few guys, they all have returned some nice value for you. After them, we got Tyler O'Neill, finished 33rd at the position. Dujac, 31 home runs in 113 games, hitting .241. A lot of injuries off and on, but when healthy, a ton was awesome in Fenway.
He was, but the frustrating part was the injuries were still there. And and really didn't give you any, I mean, power is a big part of the game because it comes with runs and RBI, but didn't really give you anything outside of the homers, right? 241 batting average, four steals, like that wasn't that hot, but still a good season for Tyler O'Neill, especially in IL leagues where you can backfill that and keep the production going in the outfield. I have no idea for next year. It's just like someone, it's a profile I don't draft because I don't see these injuries going away.
Very volatile, very volatile. Sedan Rafaela, we talked about at shortstop, very productive season overall. Some power, some nice speed. Inconsistencies, I think a lot of it had to do with moving positions so much. But anything to add to Sedan Rafaela?
No. Michael in the chat, very good point on a pretty wild split.
A lot of solo shots.
31 homers, 61 RBI for
Tyler. I think it was like his first like 16, 17 home runs were all solo or something weird like that. It was some weird stuff.
Jesus, that's nuts. That's a good pull.
It might have been like 11 or 12, but I remember the first X amount were all solo shots.
Yeah. Nothing to add on Rafaela. We covered him already. But yeah, Goodyear continues this pocket of like pretty steady performers where you drafted him.
One of my favorite, I guess mid to late round outfield targets was Stephen Kwan. He had an ADP of 220, 50th outfielder out the board, finished 29th at the position. Dude hit 292 on the year. 14 homers was kind of the shocker of it all. 12 stolen bases, 83 runs in 122 games as he missed a month with body fatigue. So that was interesting. Yeah. So that cut into the overall runs and RBIs and even stolen base production, obviously. But the dude hit for average, and then the power was a plus bonus here. I was drafting him for his average and his run scored. The power was a nice boost.
The power was a nice boost. I think very, very fluky. 14 home runs on just 11 barrels. There are very few hitters in baseball that you're shushing me away, but you know,
you're not wrong.
It doesn't happen. A 2.6% barrel rate, which is awful. So
very bad.
I don't think Stephen Kwan is more than a 5-7 home run hitter, but you struck well this year. Too bad he did miss that month. Still wish he'd run a little bit more. 12 steals is fine, but you want to see like 20, especially when batting average and runs. Can't forget runs.
Yes,
are really his only 20, assets.
For sure. Taylor Ward was the 51st outfielder off the board as we go 51 through 55 here. ADP at 221. He finished 30th at the position. Another guy I had heavily targeted. And it was a fun roller coaster of a ride with Taylor Ward this year. Started out on fire. Middle of the year was dropped places. End of the year, crushed it again. Finished 246, 25 homers, basically 150 runs in RBIs. Got healthy and looked phenomenal at the end of the year. And it's given me kind of some hope heading into 2025. But love what we saw from Taylor Ward, a guy that we talked a lot in the offseason, Ryan, about. Got hit in the face, never bounced back. Looked like he kind of found his sea legs again this season.
And we thought all was good, right? Because it was, how was he going to bounce back from like, that brutal hit by pitch in the face. 7 home runs, pretty much a 270 batting average through April. You're like, all right, we're good. And then June and July hit 181 and 174 with a total of 5 homers and 1 steal. I remember Taylor Ward coming up on episodes around that time where people were like, this is a Gene Segura type. Do I cut Taylor Ward? Because it was a brutal 2-month stretch of Taylor Ward doing nothing. And then 7 homers in September. That'll fix things.
That'll fix things in a big way. It's one of those that he was added on a lot of waiver wires in September, and that's how you win championships right there, is when a guy catches heat. And that's a big
one. And that's the, like, I mean, we say every week that how important drops are and whatever. Like, it was very tempting to drop Taylor Ward. Probably not in 15s. I had a bunch of Taylor Ward in 15s, and I wasn't really even thinking about it, but certainly in 12s.
It was the right move. I'll support the drop, especially like for even if you stuck through June, dropping him for the month of July, that's fine. You just need to watch him slowly heat up in August and get back on board type thing. Yeah. And if you waited too long, you got burned. But it was the drop was the correct move in a 12. All right, after Taylor Ward, things get a little interesting again. Starling Marte, 52nd outfielder off the board, finished 85th at the position, played 94 games back-to-back years, less than 100 games played, 7 homers, 16 steals, 269, so still productive while he was on the field, just not on the field enough.
Yeah, and you wonder, my man's getting old. He's becoming an old. He's going to be 37
So old.
Next year, so old. And you just wonder, like, A, is he going to play all the time anymore? I still think he's a decent real-life player, like 330 almost OBP and can run, but I don't know. I feel like this could fall off a cliff pretty quickly.
Yep. Platoon-type player, I think, going forward. Like him and Jeff McNeil in the Mets outfield could probably work, actually. All righty, going down the board here, the 53rd outfielder finished 124th, but he was better than this. Parker Meadows, at least better as the season ended, I'll say. He's 244, 9 homers, 9 steals. Spent a lot of the time in AAA to start the year after struggling early. Played 82 games, came back after playing well in AAA, had a good a game or two, messed up his hamstring, back to the IL. Then comes back, though, finished the year very strong. Leaving a lot of optimism for 2025. Liked what we saw from Parker Meadows.
I'm pulling up his AAA stats on my little minor league leaderboards, Bloom boards, which is
show off,
which is pretty sweet. Very well in AAA. Yeah, there's 8 homers, 19 bags, great strikeout rate, very good speed skills, and even hit the ball pretty hard. So, yeah, Parker Meadows. Like this is it's just funny to kind of see. Meadows right after Starling Marte. I feel like it's two different guys who both disappointed at their ADP, but I think two guys heading in different pretty directions. Opposite directions.
For sure. 54th outfielder off the board. Finished 26th in the position, and this is one of the boring stat lines that 15-team leagues love. Maybe a fifth outfielder in 12. Maybe he might not even be good enough for that. But Lourdes Gurriel Jr. hit 279. 18 homers, 7 steals, 147 runs and RBIs combined, and played in 133 games. So overall, another really strong season from Gurriel. Continues to be a batting average source going into the seasons.
Yeah, I guess I'm like disappointed in Gurriel, but he was fine, I guess. I mean, he had the 72 runs, 72 RBI certainly helped. He did miss some time. He missed most of September with a calf injury. But yeah, boring's the right way to put this. Like he started off terribly. He had like one really good month, but this is just kind of, yeah, this is your ultimate like 15 team outfield line. That's like, this is going to work. It's nothing sexy, but he plays and Gurriel put up decent numbers, especially against the ADP. Anytime you draft someone 54, finishes 26. I think that's a good thing, but still, it was just like, I don't know, maybe I expected more. Maybe my expectations were too high because this was the pocket where I remember, like, I took Ward, Marte, and Gurriel.
Probably.
Took those three guys because I waited on outfield. This is where at least I was saying to attack the position.
That worked out.
Kind of worked.
Yeah.
2 out of 3.
All things considered.
So. Yeah.
What didn't work if someone passed on Gurriel and took Jack Sawinski, who finished 157th at the position and spent a lot of time in AAA as the season went on. So that's all I got to say on that one.
Yeah, Captain Jack was demoted to...
The ship sank.
The ship went under. Yes. So, oh, well. Just like super streaky dude, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe just the hot streak didn't come, but... I don't even know if this guy plays. Looks like he could be in the minors again, start next season.
Got a bit of the scurvy there. Jung Hoo Lee going 56 through 60.
Eat those bananas, 12th. Right? Yeah. The bananas that cure scurvy? Vitamin C?
Calcium. That gives you calcium. Oranges give you vitamin C. So, yes.
Which one's good for scurvy?
I have no idea. I've never had it. Penicillin.
Well, Jack.
Penicillin. Jung Hoo Lee.
Rum right out of the barrel.
Yes, out of the barrel. Yes, go to the finest establishments. Yo ho ho. Jung Hoo Lee finished 207 at the position. Dude was actually hitting like he's a Stephen Kwan type. Like batting average, little pops, speed. Just Jung Hoo Lee got hurt, ended his whole season. I'm very excited for him as a Giants fan in 2025. And fantasy didn't do it for you though, that's for sure.
Did not. What would you feel like if I threw a Yoshida comp, and not just because they're both overseas, but just it feels like Jung Hoo Lee is kind of that same high batting average, but I don't. Is there much home run stolen base juice?
I think there's stolen base juice. I don't think there's much home run juice. Given he was like showing more power already in that small sample than people expected, there was like, whoa, because they weren't like cheapies when he hit him. So that was nice to see. But I think he's more batting average, scores some runs. I think he could steal 15 to 20 bases.
Will the Giants let him extract that juice? Will they let him run?
That's the million-dollar question. Hopefully with Buster Posey in the ear of Bob Melvin, that'll change things. Yeah. Hopefully. We'll see. You never know on that team because last year, you know, yeah, we've talked about that a million times on this show. No idea. Next up on the board is another Detroit Tiger who was hurt a lot, but finished with a bang, and that is Kerry Carpenter. Finished 76th at the position, 57th on the board. But dude hit .284, 18 home runs in 87 games played, 57 RBIs in 87 games play. That is some monster production from Kerry Carpenter. And this Tigers team, fun ball club for 2025.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was great to see Kerry Carpenter, who is a former Virginia Tech.
There we go.
I always have to throw that.
You have them all memorized. That's impressive, honestly, because I mean, like, it's not a powerhouse baseball school, so that's pretty impressive.
They're in many names to remember. Trust me.
That's pretty impressive.
This isn't LSU down here that I'm trying to remember hundreds
like
of
Davis, years. Like UC Davis always had Daniel Descalso. That was my dude. Daniel Descalso.
We are our most longest tenured Hokie major leaguer is Saunders, Joe Saunders.
Goodness gracious, the lefty.
Yeah, crafty. He was around for a little bit, but no, awesome year from Carpenter, especially because he missed, it was like a spine injury.
It was scary.
Where he missed almost 3 months. Really good to see him come back and, I mean, hit 10 home runs post IL with a really good batting average. And he came back from the IL mid-August. So 10 home runs the last month and a half of the season was certainly part of that pretty epic Detroit Tigers run to make the playoffs. The obvious issue, right, with Kerry Carpenter is, I mean, you can't talk about Carpenter without talking about the platoon, right? Only 31 plate appearances against lefties last year. How about a 194 on base percentage? Like, and for his career, Kerry Carpenter has a 280 OBP against lefties compared to 350. So it's a problem. It's a problem.
Yeah, they stuck to it in the postseason, even when he's red hot. Like,
that's right.
It's a walk off grand or hits a grand slam, and they're still platooning him. Like the next game at a lefty opener, and he wasn't in the lineup. Like it's. They will not let him face a lefty.
I remember that got a lot of like bad press, but I mean, honestly, it's like Hinchin, like this is what we've done all year. We're not changing this now. So,
yeah, so that is a good point. Something to monitor, like, you know, your Parker Meadows, your Riley Greens, those guys, they're playing. Where Carpenter could be a Jock Jams type. That's who he's going to be. It sounds like that's you get him like just for fun. I know we're not doing 2025, but screw it. Let's have some fun with this. Jock has a 352 ADP. Kerry Carpenter 180.
Yeah, give me Jock.
Those are very similar players, I think. That is interesting. Huh.
Like I like Carpenter more, but I don't think I like him that much.
But if he's not playing like regularly and can't hit lefties, then no, not that big of a gap, that's for sure. Yeah,
interesting.
That's interesting. Very interesting. All right, the 59th outfielder off the board finished 86th in the position at Sal Frelick of the Milwaukee Brewers. It was one of those where the outfield was kind of always a log jam, but he found a way in 145 games, only 2 homers, 18 steals, hit .259. Sal Frelick has a Jung Ho Lee type profile minus the batting average, let's put it that way.
Yeah, which means nothing. There's nothing left.
Yeah.
He's got a better running game. At least like Milwaukee lets him use it.
But I think Lee can run like that, but see Lee'll lead off and score runs, so that's gonna be interesting. Dude,
that's like saying like he's Joey Gallo without the power. Basically means he's nothing.
Fair enough.
I like that. There is nothing. I mean, with Frelick, like he does make contact, but it's super hollow. No hard contact. Like, this is, we call it a one trick pony, right? Like stolen bases is all he does. He's a good defender, but outside of like semi-regular playing time, that doesn't really matter much for fantasy.
Yep, I am with you on that one. Now, one of your biggest booms at the draft table, if you drafted Jackson Merrill as a 60th outfielder off the board, finished ninth at the position. Dude hit 292, 24 homers, 16 steals, 90 RBI. He's going to have a shiny Rookie of the Year trophy in his cabinet. What's your thoughts on Jackson Merrill? I think we talked about him at shortstop, but I can't remember completely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we did. Maybe we did. I don't know. Hell of a year.
You're good.
Because who we did talk about on our last episode was Wyatt Langford, was yep. Evan Carter. we had talked about Jackson Holliday. Like there were some hits with Churio, but like Jackson Merrill
wasn't even on my radar.
Like he was who we thought Langford would be. Yes. Going at a 260 ADP was not even on my radar at all. This ADP that we're looking at is from the main event, which drafted late March. I would wager in like draft champions leagues or in 12 team online championships. Like I don't even know if Jackson Merrill was drafted in some leagues.
In OCs, if they were drafting in March, he was probably drafted.
Because it wasn't announced until pretty late.
Right before they took off. It was mid-March because they took off mid-March to go play overseas.
Yeah, and then he hit well over there, so things kind of started to rise. But this was a pretty out-of-nowhere thing. At least, you know, I didn't pick up on any tea leaves that he'd be going, that he'd start right away in January, February. So awesome, awesome year from Jackson Merrill to finish ninth. That's your breakout. Out of this group, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, out of this,
no, we have one more coming up. Well,
41 through wherever the hell we're at. 41 through 60.
That's fair.
He's your breakout. No one else finished top 20, and then it was Nimmo 21, Gurriel 26th, and that was it for the top 30. Quan 29th. But
can you guess Merrill's ADP right now?
I'll say 50.
33.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. People
hell of a year. I mean, if he does what he did last year.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much worth it. Yep, you're good. All right, 61 through 80. We don't need to talk about the mascot because we've talked about him in other positions. We'll move to the 62nd outfielder off the board, 60th at the position. So in reality, kind of got what you drafted when it came to Giancarlo Stanton. 233 average. It says best since 2021. 27 home runs. 72 RBIs, played in 114 games. It's the most games he's played since 2021. So it's kind of just an on-par season, it feels like, for Giancarlo Stanton. And sadly, maybe what we should start expecting from Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, will be. So did not play a single game in the outfield. So that was also likely a driver of why he was able to play 109 games, even though he did still somehow strain his left hamstring. And miss over him.
And then, man, trying to score from second on game three. My God. Like, I know I'm fat and slow, but wow, that was like slow motion.
Twitter, that was old school Twitter when that happened too, because there were all these memes and videos of other slow people running.
Like, if I have a smart, I would have like the Chariots of Fire music going or something. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, no stolen bases for Giancarlo. Interestingly enough, I've only got the last 4 years of barrels. His highest barrel rate in the last 4 years post-COVID. So
interesting.
There is.
Well, we've seen him in the postseason crushing baseballs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like a healthy Giancarlo, I don't think anybody denies, is good. But like unlike Judge, who's been healthy 2 out of 3 years, Stanton just can't be healthy. That's the problem. It's like in reality, it's like, do you want him or Byron Buxton if you want an injury-prone guy? Probably Stanton, weirdly enough. But
The other thing with Stanton is this is kind of like also that like Kyle Schwarber thing where you're kind of glad that he hits 233.
Yeah.
Previous two seasons, it was 211 and 191. So like there's also that possibility, that floor where you're back to Mendoza line batting average with Giancarlo. And unlike Schwarber, you're not getting that like massive home runs run RBI.
Yep. Very, very true. All right, your 63rd outfielder off the board finished 121 at the position. That's MJ Melendez. Dude finished hitting 206, 17 homers, 4 stolen bases in 135 games. I keep wanting to believe in MJ Melendez, and I probably should just stop, but he hit 311 in August and then disappeared in September again. He's just such – and he had 5 homers in August, no homers in September. He's just such an odd profile. Like, the skills – He'll showcase them, but just not for a long term period of time. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I apparently saw something in MJ because I drafted him in our too early 2025 draft.
The skills are there, man. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, the dude can hit.
Yeah.
The dude can hit. He can hit for power. Strikeout rate isn't that bad. Runs a little bit, but I don't know. Yeah, this was definitely a step back. Similar to Kerry Carpenter, this is another, I think, just straight up platoon guy. OBP the last 3 years against lefties, 352 down to 264 down to 176 this season, and not tiny sample sizes there. So I'm afraid MJ is also a kind of every week you're like looking how many lefties does he face. So I don't know if I even like my pick. I forget which round I took MJ in, but it was just one of those. I need an outfielder who plays. He kind of does that.
That is for sure. Jake Fraley, the 64th outfielder out the board, finished 91st in the position, played 116 games, only 5 home runs, but 20 stolen bases for the second straight year for Fraley. Hit 277, only 26 RBIs in 116 games for the Cincinnati Reds.
What?
That's why he ranked 91st. I was like, how could he be that bad with a 277 average, 20 steals, 26 RBIs? That's your
answer. Yo.
Like, that is atrociously bad. Talk about the anti-clutch gene. Yeah. Outside of that, was a great platoon option in Great American Small Park, but then you look at the RBIs and thought, probably not the greatest.
Yeah, and I don't know what to think about that. Like that, I mean, obviously it's bad, but for next year, like, you would think that can't be that bad again. You did only have 28 RBI 2 years ago across 247 plate appearances, so an extra 140 this season. Yeah, that's nuts. Another nuts thing is 5 home runs in Great American Small Park.
Yeah,
in 382 plate appearances. Like, obviously he didn't play all those games.
Okay, let's see. I got it right here. What did he actually do?
Like, that's
tough. Two in Great American, 3 on the road.
Oh,
he had 153 plate appearances at home, 229 on the road.
Some of that with Fraley was the ground ball rate return, but
eight RBI Great American Small Park.
That's the stat. That's the number.
8 RBIs.
That's the number. That is horrendous.
Oh man.
Again, he hit 277.
That's the thing. It's not like if he hit 220, be like, yeah, okay, I can see it. 277, played 116 games.
Jesus.
How does that happen?
I might be back in on my guy here.
48 games at home, 2 homers, 8 RBIs, hit 285. Hit 285 at home with 2 homers and 8 RBIs.
And that's the, I mean, if you're doing like a weekly streaming thing, which Fraley was like a weekly streamer, you're probably not starting him on the road. Not that he was any good on the road, but he was even worse at home. That's rough.
Nikes, man. That is unbelievable.
That's the stat of the episode, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. See, we learned stuff how we do this too, folks. Wow. Jose Siri rounds out pick 65, finished 100th at the position because he hit 187. 187. Did have 18 homers and 14 steals in 130 games, 47 RBIs. So 18 and 14, that's pretty good. 187, not great, Bob. Nearly a 38% K rate, Ryan. This is like we used to be able to tolerate the okay, like 220 average, like you said with Giancarlo, that Siri could bring you. This is tough.
Yeah, did have 47 RBI, unlike our guy.
Had 18 home runs. Yeah, he had 21 more RBIs with 13 more home runs.
Yeah, it's not that great. I mean, I will even wonder, like, Jose Siri, I guess the glove is really good. But, like, the Rays throw this out? The 255 on base, that is terrible.
There's a point where the glove's got to go away. Like, put Josh Lowe in center.
Right.
Like, come on, guys.
I mean, the 14 steals, and it's not, I mean, he was thrown out 7 times, so that wasn't that great either. So, like, again, from it's a real life playing time standpoint, he did not contribute with the running game, even though it was 14 steals, a 7 caught certainly wipes that out, and then just no OBP. So I don't know. A bad year for Jose Siri, and
I know he was a popular fifth outfielder for a lot of people, too. A lot of people. A guy that wasn't popular on my board, Chris Bryant, finished 219th at the position. Ryan, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a big Bryant guy, so I thought you'd expand a little bit. But
I think I've said enough on the show over 3 years that they know my thoughts on this.
That's our rare steak red award winner here with 218, two homers and zero. I mean, it doesn't look tasty. Than that.
Does look tasty.
Unlike Chris Bryant's outlook for 2025.
Looks about as rare steak red as his lower back, probably. Leody Tavares, the 67th outfielder off the board, finished 74th at the position. Dude hit 229, 12 homers, 23 steals. The batting average helped him be better than Jose Siri. That's about it.
23 bags is pretty good, though. I counted on Leody in the second half on a few of my 15 teamers. Second half was decent. 240 batting average, 7 homers, 13 steals. Played 148 games. I think that's the thing. Like, to play 148 games and only finish 74th at the position, that's pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, he was in your lineup every day and wasn't doing much.
Yeah, but another guy that played a lot, didn't do a ton, but finished 41st in the positions, Brendan Donovan. It did help that he had 278 batting average. That was very good. He's been a batting average asset for 3 seasons now. 14 steals, 5 stolen bases, about 140 runs and RBIs. Played in 153 games, which was good. Just, you know, counting stats are fine, just not a lot of power and speed, but average and counting stats, not bad this late in the draft from Brendan Donovan.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I feel like this is that typical Brendan Donovan line. I mean, this guy is getting pretty boring,
yes,
despite being only 3 years into his career. But I don't know. Yeah, and like, I don't even know if that, because he had to volume his way to get here. I mean, that's Brendan true. Donovan had 650.
Well, like, he's a good bat. Like, the matchups are good. He can bat in average. I'm going to hope he scores some runs and drives him in. And then sit him again type thing. You're not counting on power speed if you're streaming him.
I feel like this is like, I might start getting mixed up with Alec Burleson.
Alec Burleson, sorry, excuse me.
Both just like Cardinals, some first base, outfield, batting average, but I don't know. Barrel season had a better season.
The Cardinals have a type. It's okay. Next up, Jared Kelenic finished 94th in the position, which is crazy because for a while there, he was the talk of the town with Atlanta. Then he finished hitting 231 with 15 homers and 7 steals and wasn't hitting leadoff after a while. So we saw who Jared Kelenic really was by the end of the season.
And I think it's just so weird to say. I think at this point, the guy is still 25.
Nuts.
But at a certain point, you have so many career plate appearances where it's like this. I mean, it's 1,400 plate appearances in the majors. And we all thought this, you know, if there's going to be a year, it's this in Atlanta, like that lineup, yada, yada. I don't know. It didn't even look good for, like, he was bad in April and May, didn't even start doing anything until June. Had 6 homers, 3 steals in June, hit 300. It
led off like the whole month.
That was like half his production in 1 month. So,
yep. All right, the 70th outfielder off the board finished 116th. That's Max Kepler. Lots of time on the IL for Max. Did it 253, but 8 home runs and 1 steal ain't gonna cut it.
Yeah, as we're giving out Bubba and the Blues Bloomisms here, it's Gene Segura Award matched with line change. Yes, right, because like,
very true.
I mean, every week when the Twins were playing a bunch of righties, it's like, all right, let's get Max Kepler in there. Until we kind of stopped saying that because Max Kepler didn't do anything.
A more powerful lefty showed up.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for that one. I was waiting for your guy Wallner to creep in. Where's he on this list?
Someone had the nerve. He should be on the special list down here, but you don't even have it on that. Someone had the nerve to compare him to Joey Gallo. Just remember that.
I did. I stand. I mean, what the hell? Hold on.
Pull it up.
He got lucky, man. Wallner. He got
lucky.
Wallner. What are we doing here? How many? 13 bombs.
Homers, 275 games, hit 259. Come on now. 17.5% barrel, 53% hard hit.
My man's strikeout rate. That's why he's Gallo.
Yeah, but then he started playing every day, even against lefties, and made you kadoosh on that one.
Does he hit 259 next year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Dude hit 273 in August, 243 in September.
Give it, yeah,
he's hitting at least. He hit 272 in the second half of the year with 10 home runs.
All right. Well, I'm queuing up that board bet if you still stand by, or beer bet if you still stand by that.
Does he hit over 259 next year?
Yeah. Take that bet. 259?
What did he hit last year?
He hit 259. That's what I'm saying. Over, under.
Let's see what the projections say. He's a career 251
sound
hitter.
Sound like me now.
Yeah, let's wait. Didn't we agree no beer bets for like at least a month?
we have to settle our bets in Arizona this week, and then we're clear to start.
Then we're clear to start. Exactly. All right, let's go 71 through 80 here as we wrap them all up. We covered them all, Ryan. Brian De La Cruz, 71st outfielder off the board, finished 64th at the position, and it really stinks. And weirdly enough, De La Cruz was playing really well for the Marlins, got traded to Pittsburgh, and it all went downhill from there, it felt like. If you look at, I'm pulling up his game log, so from September, July 31st, when he started with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, it was bad.
200 average with 3 home runs, 2 steals, and a 31% K rate. Just dreadful. And he started platooning by the end of it. It was bad.
I didn't realize it fell off that much.
Yeah, because I dropped him places. It got that bad.
To your line of thinking, I had a better outfielder in Jesus Sanchez with the Marlins, but
that is a much better outfielder.
I did not realize De La Cruz. Yeah, and lost playing time on the Pirates, which
it's not good. Not good. Brent Rooker, 72nd outfielder off the board. Here is your big one of the night. Finished third at the outfield position. Brent Rooker hit 293, 39 home runs, 82 runs scored, 112 RBIs on the Athletics with 11 stolen bases. So we got a stolen base jump. We got a guy that actually drove in runs with the Athletics. Got a massive BABIP hype to jump up that batting average. What's your thoughts on Brent Rooker? Because we did talk about him on our bench with Bubba earlier today.
Okay. I haven't listened yet, so I'm curious what you guys think. I think the power is completely legit.
Yes.
I don't think the batting average is legit at all. And we'll see. I actually, on the player spotlight panel that I'm running Saturday morning at first pitch, I made it. One of this kind of subsections of that panel is this regress to what section. It's these guys like Rooker, Turek, and Profar. Hope I'm not stealing your thunder there. But just these guys who just thought of that. Just these guys. Just these guys who went up. It's like it's easy to say they had a career, and what your panel's different than that. It's easy to say they had a career and they're going to fall back, but like to what level? I think the batting average for Rooker, I think he's like 250, 260 hitter. I think the batting average comes down quite a bit, but hey, third out, like this is probably the outlier performance of the season.
Any position
for me, in any position, what the hell was this from Brent Rooker? Right.
And it's like he put together a good year the year before, 246, 30 homers. Like you're like, cool. And then this happens. I'm with you. I think we said like 260, but still 35 to 40 home runs. Like there's I can't believe in all that. Especially like I also made a joke on like every podcast, it needs to have like those old CDs, parental advisor. You just say A's play a new ballpark, just get it out of the way now. Yeah. And those kind of things. Caveat, util only next year. So have fun with that, folks.
Which I did not realize in our meatball draft, and I almost took him. I had Marcelo Zuna. That would have given me two. That I would have never heard the end of that one.
Nope. That would have been an oopsie on that one for sure. All right. 73rd outfielder off the board. Finished 224. Victor Scott, the second, the biggest waste of fab on the Bubba and the Bloomies 2024.
Yeah, Bubba and the Bloomie award winner, Victor Scott. But for all the wrong reasons. Hey, at least he got. Did we ship him his trophy yet?
Probably got lost in the mail.
Yeah, because he didn't get it. But no, this was like the hype was out of control around opening day when it was announced that Victor Scott was going to make it. A lot of wasted fab money. If anyone drafted that last weekend, believe it was announced before then that Scott was making the team, and the ADP shot through the roof. And God, this was awful. I don't really have anything else to say.
I don't even know how to be optimistic going forward. Like eventually he probably figures it out, but people said that about Jordan Walker too. So I'm just going to let that one.
Well, he came back later in the season. It was just as bad.
Yeah. He was a platoon guy. He was a pinch runner slash platoon. So 74th outfielder off the board, finished 97th, Jeff McNeil. Not much to say on this. I think we know who Jeff McNeil is now.
Yeah, don't draft Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, don't let friends draft him either. Lars Nootbaar finished 101 at the position, injured most of the year. I'm still pretty optimistic on what he can do, because even in a shortened season, 12 homers, 7 steals.
Yes, agreed. Nootbaar missed, yeah, how much? God. His ribs and then an oblique. So he pretty much missed the first half.
He was almost on the Edmund plan.
Yeah, and RIP.
They were like rehabbing together and then setbacks together type thing. So, yeah. But yeah, he found his way back, but it wasn't really, he didn't seem fully back most of the year. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
All right. 76 through 80. Willie Castro, talked about him plenty. He finished 44th in the position because he plays everywhere, folks. Whit Merrifield, 77th, finished 145 at the position. We talked about him at second base. If you have anything to mention on these guys, feel free to cut me off. Alex Verdugo, the 78th outfielder off the board, finished 75th at the position. And you could say he's another Gene Segura type, Mr. Ryan Bloomfield. Because I think a lot of people just were like, oh, it's Alex Verdugo. He's playing for the Yankees starting every day. But 13 homers, 2 steals, .233 average over 149 games.
He was Gene Segura type for the Yankees, that's for sure, because they gave him 621 plate appearances.
But he's got great defense, great defense.
I'm just waiting for your bat flip comment.
Oh, dude, that I was literally like, my jaw dropped watching him doing it, going, you tool. Like 4-0, you guys are getting smoked out of your own building. He hits a home run that barely gets over the wall, and he's bat flipping like he won the World Series. It was so funny.
Hey man, he old man. He hit a home run in the World Series. Let him
act like you've been there before.
Well, he hasn't. So
that's true. That is true.
I don't have. Outside of that, I'm just trying to rile you up here at the end of the show, but
we've had an off the rail show today, so that's good. 79th outfielder off the board, finished 141. Mitch Haniger, not much to add to that.
No. The reunion with Seattle was like a bad family reunion.
Drunk uncle. And the last outfielder number 80, finished 162nd at the position, Tommy Edman. Didn't play much in the regular season, but dang, he's been good in the postseason for the Dodgers. I will say. And he played well in September, like when he got his time. He's been a phenomenal trade pickup. As much as I want to slander it, this is me taking my L, folks.
Yeah, and I normally am not a huge fan of like postseason, like this is going to inflate his ADP next year type of thing, because I think a lot of times by the time we draft, it's not that big of a jump. But I feel like for Edmund, it could be just because he missed so much time. Came back and those 6 homers, 6 steals in very small amount of time, and then kind of continuing to do that. Is he on the Dodgers again next year?
He's a free agent in 2026.
Okay.
So,
and the Dodgers played him every day when he was back, I want to say. Maybe just because he was hot, but
yeah, he played all over the place, but he played pretty much every day.
Forgot about this in the chat here. Tattoo infections from Verdugo.
Tattoo infections.
I don't remember that.
Jesus Christ. I, that's right. He was on the IL with an infection, but I didn't know it was a tattoo infection.
That's pretty good. I mean, are you surprised?
No, not at all. I've seen those tattoos. Those look like something that would be infected. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I wanted to wait until he got through the top 80. Can you guess what Matt Wallner finished in the player rater? I had to look this up for my own discussion points.
Yeah, so he had 259 later. With 13 homers.
And remember, only 261 plate appearances. So small sample.
But that doesn't matter. I know, but small like sample. So 259. What's a decent comp here? I'll say. I don't know. I'll say he hit. I'll say he finished 70th.
123.
Yeah, I mean,
right ahead of Parker Meadows.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you can't finish high when you don't play.
Yeah, so. I thought, he's such a monster, but Player Rater doesn't believe in these things apparently.
Well, it doesn't believe or believe in it. It's a computer.
It's like the damn shredder on MLB Network. They don't know what they're talking
about. No, it's not that bad. This thing seemingly is rooted in proper math.
I know. But, all right, before I completely take this show off the rails, how about you give us some of the breakouts? Because we did have, so even though we got Rooker on the list, we got Merrill on the list, we did have some outfield breakouts as well.
Yes, and a couple huge ones. First one, Jurickson Profar, undrafted, and finished underrated. 11th. And underrated. I spelled that wrong on the sheet, didn't I?
It's, like but I
it's true.
It is. He was very underrated. I remember somebody telling me I was a fool for recommending him in like the early Fab weeks.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Yeah. I'm sure I did. Because I didn't believe in Profar at all.
Yep, I know.
And actually, interestingly enough, the skills got a lot better as the season went on with Profar. But early on, like it, I thought it was.
There's been nothing in his career to back up the early skills. There's none of it. I will agree with your comments on those because you follow that. I'm more of a risk taker. I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a huge one. And obviously, that's the one you want to hit on. The key question will be who will be next year's Jurickson Profar, which
I'm going to help you figure that out, folks.
Yes. Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m. Bring your water,
caffeine, Advil. Folks. Caffeine, everybody. Bring it all.
And go to Bubba's panel. It should be good. It should be really good. That's the actual title of the panel, right?
Yeah, who's next year's Jurickson Profar. Basically someone over 30 that came out of nowhere to be a stud.
Yeah.
It's hosted by Steve Gardner. It's myself, Jeff Zimmerman, and Pete Kreutzer. We'll be up there having fun there and seeing where we can lead you guys. The list is very interesting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I will set my alarm.
You will not be there.
What do you mean I won't be there? I'll be there.
You'll be at the buffet eating food.
Yeah. Well, I'll either be there or I'll be still sleeping.
Yes. All right. Who else we got here? Because I drafted this next guy.
Yeah, Brenton Doyle is the other, kind of just missed the top 80 ADP. He was 338. He would have been like the next guy. But finished 13th. Just a freaking hell of a season for Brenton Doyle. And you could also kind of do a panel on who is next year's Brenton Doyle because a little bit different profile than Profar. But, God, he was money, as Uncle Ted says in the chat.
Yes,
I agree.
Yes, he was.
I'm talking about him at First Pitch on our Player Spotlight panel as well. I wanted to hit on these kind of outlier performances, and Doyle certainly interested to see what the gang says about him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You got Alec Burleson, undrafted, finished 23rd. Kind of fell off as the season came to an end, though. So I'm curious to where that one kind of goes going forward. Plus, there's always a crowdedness in St. Louis, it feels like. So see how that takes place. And then Colton Cowser. Moo. God, yeah.
That was a low light. Speaking of look backs to 2024, when you caught me off guard with the cow. Remember that?
Yep.
Jesus.
You didn't believe me either, and I show you like the next day he goes yard and they're all wearing cow outfits
they're all
and stuff
like
in
dressed
Baltimore.
Up as cows in the stadium.
And he thinks I make this stuff up just because I am that dumb, which I get. I deserve most of that. But it's legit.
Yeah.
Finished 31st at the position though. And that was after a red hot start and then kind of nothing in the middle.
Right. And he finished the year good. I wanna say
final month was good.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's kind of like one of the more disappointing quote unquote breakouts because it did start so damn good. Six homers, three steals, 297
walk, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah, it's just crazy. The batting average from April to May dropped 100 points, one homer, no steals in May. And then came back and finished decently in the second half. But again, that's it's another example of how long this season can be.
Yep. It will wear on everybody. That is for darn sure. But you know what doesn't? 80 outfielders covered and some in two episodes, and we did not skip very many at all. If we did, it was an accident. We covered them all.
Yeah, because the ones we skipped, we already talked about. So,
yep. So, any final thoughts on the position? Because again, it just reminds me of how top heavy for studs, but then you can mix and match and stream a lot of the bottom half. Like Uncle Ted mentioned Pete Crow Armstrong. We didn't even discuss him. He didn't play enough to qualify on the player rater. He'll be a guy that I'll have written in a outfield article coming up in a couple weeks, potentially as a guy to draft later on that will be very productive. Cause there are at every position, there are a handful of players that won't rank high on the player rater, weren't drafted or were whatever scenarios, but didn't rank high on the player rater that could impact next year. Pete Crow is a very obvious target there that Uncle Ted makes.
And the other thing I'll add onto this, just a general point, once you're this deep into the player pool, I don't really think there's many, if any, takeaways. Like most of the time at most positions, a lot of these guys are going to suck and you're going to dump them. And you just churn and move on. And it's not that big of a deal where you take these guys, especially like once we started talking about 61 through 80 ADP. I mean, that's ADP, that's pick 260 and later. The chances of those guys being on your team at the end of the season is very low. So, like, yes, you want to hit on those Brent Rookers, those Jackson Merrills. They're few and far between. If you hit on them, awesome. But if not, not that big of a deal. You churn and move on and grind out with Fab by listening to Bubba and the Bloom every Thursday night during the season, of course.
Yes, indeed. As Michael Cicchini says, the law dog Lawrence Butler is another one.
Yeah.
He finished 32nd at the position. So okay. He's one that's going to go really high just for funds. I know James Anderson took him early, and I agree with it. His ADP is 117. And it's one of those, like, he did it in 1 year. Do you believe it? I do, kind of. But I know I'm biased in that scenario, but I think his adjustments he's made at the plate are pretty legit. So I'm a fan of what we saw there. So yeah, there's a lot of them. A lot of them we didn't get to because of where they were dragged. His ADP last year was 536. We got
Butler.
And we got to what, 332? So 200 picks later was Lawrence Butler.
Yeah, I probably should have thrown him on the breakouts because
it was Kowser's a partial 31, season. Butler was 32. They're right next to it.
I don't know why I stopped at Kowser, but
it's all good. Like Elliot Ramos finished 40th. I'm just going to throw a couple names. Like I said, I'll cover a lot of these guys. Like Jesus Sanchez, 45th. This show by now should know our enjoyment and love for Jesus Sanchez. So JJ Bleday is down there. He finished like 57th. So he's a top 60. If you're in a 12, if you're in a 12 team, five alpha, there's top 60 counts. So these kind of guys bring it to the table for sure. All right, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Again, no Thursday show. Live show in FPAS on Friday. We'll be in your downloads for your podcast, hopefully on Saturday, give or take, whenever that's available. Then we'll be back with you guys next week with two shows as usual. A lot of fun coming out of Arizona. Hope you guys enjoy all that good stuff and are ready to chat about it next week. And then we'll head to the mound. We got the sticks are done. We head to the mound. Probably two starting pitcher episodes. We'll have a relief pitching episode. And then we're getting close. Maybe a strategy piece or two before we get cracking on some preview stuff. We're getting close, Mr. Ryan. And you got the forecaster. When's that supposed to be all said and done?
Oh, not soon enough. We're turning along pretty good. The momentum always stops every year when we go to first pitch because we don't kind of take those 4 days off. But we're done with all the hitter boxes and starting to roll with the pitcher ones. It will be ready as usual, as always, the day before Thanksgiving. So if you are recurring order
subscriber or something like that,
all the details are on Baseball HQ, but you get the PDF Thanksgiving Eve, which is like freaking holiday around here.
I was more asking, when does your part of it slow down? Because I know you're pretty going wild with it.
I mean, pretty much up until a week before that.
Yeah, because you're one of the editors, that's true.
We will finish probably another week after we get back from first pitch with the player boxes, and then it's proofing all the essays and trying to make sure there are no mistakes in a 350-page book, which...
Yeah, glad I don't have to worry about that. I thank you guys for doing it. Michael C. says, what time Friday? 9 p.m. Pacific time, best coast time. We're the same time right now as Arizona, so yes.
Yeah, Arizona doesn't change
their Saturday clocks. Night, it changes. Saturday night, everything changes.
They don't change their clocks, and everyone else does. But yeah, 9 p.m. Friday night,
Pacific. All right, and we'll wrap it up there, everybody. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Stay safe on Thursday night. Have some fun with family, friends, or whatever you're up to for Halloween. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and I am at BD Intric. Until next time, Bubba and the Bloom, episode 182. Catch y'all later.